Well, hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the List Podcast, Life Issue Support Team. And we are so happy, excited to be back with another incredible story of God doing some amazing things in the lives of so many people. Well, today we have a young lady by the name of Lanisha Phillips. I hope I pronounced that right. And she has an incredible story that I want you to hear and to be blessed by. So we're going to go right into the story. We'll be back at the end of the podcast for more information. But give a listen to this young lady as she shares her journey from being in a low place to being in a place of power and faith and not afraid to tell the devil he lost. Take a listen. Well, hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Well, how are you doing, young lady?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Listen, everybody, please, whatever you're doing, take a seat, sit down, get a cup of coffee, because you're getting ready to hear an incredible testimony of victory from this young lady that I know by the name of Lanisha Phillips. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yes. Wow, praise God. I was nervous. She is going to share with us on today. And I believe for those of you who are able to relate to her story, you're going to find victory. You're going to find encouragement. And most of all, this is the whole root of the matter. You're going to find freedom so that you're able to live your life to its fullness for the glory of God without having anything hanging over your head to make you feel that you don't fit. She's going to share. So, Ms. Phillips, kind of give us a little bit, you know, a little bit about you, where you are, who you are now, what you're doing, yada, 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 just a little history, and then just go right in.
Okay, well, of course, thank you so, 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 so much for allowing this opportunity.
Yes,
it's been a journey. It's definitely been a journey. But just a little bit of background info on me. I am a millennial. I grew up here in North Carolina, between Moore County and Hope County. And I've been raised in the church all my life, not necessarily a PK or, you know, what have you, but I've been in church all of my life. And, my parents were very adamant about making sure that I understood who God was and making sure that I did or was allowed opportunities to, you know, operate in the church. And so, of course, I'm saved now. Technically, I've been saved since I was 13. However, you know, it's to me, it was very young. And there was a lot going on then, and but I knew that I didn't want to continue life without getting to know who God was. And I'll be 28 in July. So
happy birthday, in case I forget. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But you know, you do the math on that, but that's, you know, more than 10 years of, you know, building this relationship, with Christ, even in the midst of, I mean, cause 13, you're talking about, you know, hormones and dealing with, you know, grade school and middle school and then going into high school and just developing a life and trying to figure out, you know, where I fit, what I want to do, all that good stuff. And so, I'm currently a praise and worship leader. I serve for different churches, but my home church currently is St. Peter the Rock in Eastwood, North Carolina, under the leadership of Pastor
Pastor T. Yes, ma'am.
He is amazing. I love that man. Like, he, you know, he's been a very, in the short period of time that I've known him, he's been like a father to me, a mentor, and I truly thank God for him. And so, serve as a praise and worship leader. Again, I fellowship with different churches, currently, but I'm also married. I've been married, it'll be 6 years in December, to my husband Samuel Phillips, and we have
December what? What's the date in December?
The 5th.
Girl, be out of town. I've been married for 47 years on December the 24th. Don't ask me how many. Don't ask me how many, because I might tell a story, but I know it was December 24th.
Wow,
okay.
That is amazing. Wow, I did
yes.
not know that. Cool.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yep.
And oh my goodness, you guys are definitely, I just want to openly say, for me personally, definitely a power couple to look up to, not just, you know, outside of the church, but definitely in the church as well.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm honored to even be having this conversation. Like, it's so crazy. And of course, yeah, we've known each other for a while. So, but going back into, you know, what I currently do now, of course, you know, I work, I've been in customer service jobs for quite a while. Outside of church and things like that. And so we have, again, my family, we have three amazing girls. I was a stepmom before I became my actual biological mother. And so, so yeah, I've gotten to know these two incredible young women. And of course, my baby girl that I just, she just turned three. So I can't say she's my baby. She'll always be my baby. But yeah, so all right, so jumping into more so the story now, of course, knowing all of this about me now, you know, that comes with different facets that I have to operate in. I'm a wife. I had to learn how to be a mom at a younger age, and stuff, and dealing with blended families and all that good stuff. And it's been, like I said, it's been a journey. And so like I said, and mind you, I've, you know, gone to school throughout this time. I just graduated last year from Sand Hills Community College, and, you know, just been, again, trying to figure out still, you know, and solidify what I want to do, and definitely, you know, serve in the different things that God wants me to serve in. And so, so we'll go ahead and rewind it.
What I'll do here, Ms. Phillips, is that I will introduce the direction. And I saw a post that you did on Facebook a little while ago. I read that, and it just absolutely blew me away. And what blew me away was that you were so free to share. Most people who have undergone what you share on post and what you're going to share today, man, that's the secret that's kept in the closet until Jesus comes. The sad thing about that is that because it's kept in the closet, not that you're trying to make it public, but you're echoing the scripture where Jesus says, who the Son sets free is free indeed.
That's right. Yeah.
In order to defeat your enemy, you have to confront your enemy.
Of course. Absolutely. Okay. I agree.
And you did that on that. I mean, I just thought, okay, there's the next one. Right there. Let's get this girl. All right. Yeah. You go ahead and share it. Go ahead and share.
Okay. So, So going back to that post. To give more insight, it was, now mind you, it was just a awareness post that was previously, you know, shared, and I'm sure was shared, like, you know, by however many people that, you know, may know somebody that's gone through, you know, rape or molestation. and you know, people that have actually gone through it. And so this hasn't been the first post that I've actually shared of this nature, but I saw that people, you know, responded and different people were sharing and things like that. And so when you contacted me, I was just blown away, because I think when it comes to this, the subject matter, like you said, it's not talked about. It's very swept under the rug and, you know, placed in secret. But I think that is because when you go through something like that, there are different things that come into play as far as switching your mindset as to how you see life. There's a shame that comes with it. There's definitely fear that comes with it. And there is a big insecurity that comes with it. And so here lately, God's just been really dealing with me since I've been, you know, an adult, just about really standing in the gap for the next generation and making sure that generational curses stop with me. And I felt that was an opportunity, you know, to share. And honestly, if people, you know, get to know me personally, they'll know that I'm literally an open book. Like, even though I've gone through different things and stuff, I'm not afraid to actually testify or speak on it, because you know, I had to understand and learn and go through my own process of being free in who God made me to be. And so with this specific post, I shared it not only because of the awareness of it, but because, and I obviously don't know who the originator of it was, but the post depicted characteristics of a person, you know, as far as different things that they may do or different ways they may act, that was very, very identical to how I was growing up. And even, you know, sometimes to this day, I'm obviously, you know, an adult now. So I have been dealing, you know, God's been dealing with me about different things regarding those characteristics. But ultimately, though, it pointed out some good things that people kind of just gloss over and really don't get to understand, that it's not necessarily the person that is, you know, mean or lashes out or anything like that. It's just because they really do not feel secure. As a kid, when you go through that and you, you know, have to wrap your mind around what happened, you start to realize, or there is a thing, an underlying tone, undertone, of I lost my innocence. So then there's the shame that comes with that of, okay, well, I'm not good enough because this is what happened to me. And that bleeds into a lot of different areas. You know, not feeling worthy of being complimented or being praised about, you know, good things that you do, not being worthy of healthy relationships, not being worthy of just good things ultimately happening to you. And so growing up, it was definitely a process. I was 7 years old, and you know, that, so the time gap between 7 and 13 by the time I got saved was really hard, because I depicted some of those characteristics and people couldn't understand, which it, with my case, a lot of people didn't know until I was a lot older. Like, I didn't talk to my parents about it until I was 19. So it was a lot of, again, shame and fear that comes with it, and also feeling like you're alone and you have to deal with this alone, because not anybody's going to understand. And especially with how things have been done in families and stuff like that, African-American families to be more specific, where, you know, most of the time people don't believe you. Most of the time, you know, they try to protect the you know what I'm saying, the other person, or, you know, however, but they try to ignore talking about the issue. they deny the issue, and mm-hmm. then you have people that grow into adults and literally don't know how to function in society, let mm-hmm. alone talk about, you know, getting to know God for themselves, because they feel like they are not worthy of anything good. And mm-hmm. so because God is good and we know that God is good, it can weigh heavy on someone that hasn't properly dealt with it, or at least see, you know, sought help to deal with it. And so my teenage years, it was tough, because, you know, I really, you know, could not, I didn't feel like I could trust anybody. And that's another thing, you deal with trust issues heavily because of, you know, just feeling like, okay, well, this happened and it was allowed to happen, then mm-hmm. shoot, I can't trust anybody. So teenage years dealing with, you know, guys and, you know, potentially dating and all that stuff, I got into a lot of trouble.
To be honest,
it was crazy. And then even, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times with victims, you know, they can develop same-sex tendencies as well. And I dealt with that. And so it was a really, really strong struggle, but God mm-hmm. is a good God. And I didn't really take my relationship with him serious until like I was maybe like 20, 21. So mm-hmm. we're talking about really being dedicated to him for just, you know, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And that's when he started to begin to work with me and work on me about the different things, not just that situation or that happenstance, but just me overall, and creating me, recreating me and making me into a new creature, simply because I'd hit so many different walls of, well, Lord, okay, I'm trying to do this, you know, I'm trying to be that. And honestly, I don't see my way through life if this is still an issue, you know. And again, mm-hmm. like I said, you're talking about shame, fear, you know, trust issues. There's no way you can have an honest relationship with anyone with trust issues. And so mm-hmm. And then let alone you're trying to, you know, like I said, relationships, that's friendships and you know, potentially dating and, you know, developing a life partner. It was rough because I didn't want to let anybody in. I felt like nobody really honestly had my, you know, me, you know, as far as myself, had my interest at heart, positively. So it was really tough. And I think, going to therapy, I didn't start going to therapy until the beginning of last year. But I also, throughout the years, I'm pretty sure I've had anxiety all my life. And so I was finally diagnosed with it mm-hmm. once I started going to therapy. But honestly, mm-hmm. going to therapy, honestly, I'm glad that there's more of an awareness now with therapy being more accepted, but growing mm-hmm. up, it wasn't. And so, you know, it was like, I don't want to do that because crazy people do that. Like, that was the stigma mm-hmm. that everybody had, the African-American community specifically. It was like, oh, well, that's for, you know, certain type of people and this, mm-hmm. that, and the third. And so, throughout that process, as far as before, during my teenage years, I did try to commit suicide a few times. Mm-hmm. I dealt with depression. Like I said, I had always dealt with anxiety because I always felt like I had to look over my shoulder and make sure nobody was trying to mess with me. I was bullied all throughout school because I was smart. And so it was just like, I couldn't catch a break. I was mm-hmm. dealing with stuff at home, and then I had to go to school and deal with stuff. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it was just crazy. But I knew about God because I was going to church throughout this whole time. And so one thing that, you know, my parents, you know, were able to instill in me is that a lot of things that you go through, you're not alone in, and that God can help, you know. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It took me a long time to really, my heart was hardened. for mm-hmm. a long time.
Sure.
And so for it hit me one day. I think I heard a sermon, and you know, during the benediction, the pastor was like, you know, he quoted that scripture, you know, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And mm-hmm. it took me a while to realize until that moment that my heart was really hardened. And mm-hmm. so for any type of change to take place at all, my heart had to be softened, and I had to be vulnerable. Absolutely. Yeah. I had to be able to be vulnerable with the Father. And so I developed, after, you know, being an adult, I was able to seek that out more. And so the more right. that I, you know, just spent time with Him and poured myself out to Him, you know, and just let Him be God in my life, man, that's when transformation really took place.
Okay, so what you're saying, and this is really good, girl. Good, God Almighty.
I appreciate
you. So what you're saying is that the only way that you were able to get to this place right now where you are is that you had to let your heart become open to God's love for you.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just kind of, they just close up.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
Because of the stigma. And just mm-hmm. kind of going back to what you said about, you know, in the African-American churches back in the day, this didn't come up.
Yeah, at all.
Who did it.
At all.
I don't care.
Nope.
You know, it could have been the preacher, the apostle, the prophet. I don't mm-hmm. care who did it. Don't
yep.
bring this up, because we have to protect our image.
Yep.
Even though, you know, that person, that victim is absolutely going through, you know, pure chaos and confusion, the more
yeah.
concerned was the image. And Lord, don't say that about going to a therapist.
Right.
We don't go to a therapist here. We he come over high, lay hands on you, pour oil on you, and tell you keep your mouth closed and go on.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
I know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that, got some posters and everything. And a lot of reasons why we see such a disconnect, you know, when it comes to your generation and to those after you, is because there's no safe place, no truly
exactly.
safe place to bleed, and where you are covered as you bleed.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I believe that what you're sharing is going to kind of give hope to those who are right now that's listening. And if you're listening, let me tell you, there is hope. But the first thing that has to be done is that you just got to open your heart to Jesus and let Him
Absolutely.
Love on you to
yeah.
where He's able to direct you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Keep going. I'm not done. Are you done?
No. You're good. We're good.
Let's go. Come on.
So that's the first thing. And honestly, again, it did take me a while to get to that spot because of all of what you mentioned. But that, like, really hits you as far as like self-esteem. And so mm-hmm. it's hard to believe, well, there is a God that wants to do this, this, and this for me, but I don't even want good for myself. So how mm-hmm. am I supposed to let, you know what I'm saying? Like, how am I supposed
wow.
to let something, how am I supposed to let the light of all lights into my life when I feel like I shouldn't even be worthy of it at all?
Wow.
And so, like even recently I realized, and just a quick shameless plug, I had been doing a 21 day affirmation book that Ebony Walker just released not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got done with it, which I do encourage everybody, like young, old, black, white, green, blue, whoever, I encourage you to get that book. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
what's the name of the book again?
It is, give me just a second, because it's right here.
Okay.
I know it's 21 days of, I think it's called The Habit, 21 days, The Habit. And like I said, it is an affirmation book that you, it gives you a layout or a theme to write mm-hmm. about. And then you have pages upon pages to write out, you know,
to journal,
whatever
to express. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And that's
and
by Ebony Walker.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Ebony Walker, 21 days of, what name? Affirmation?
Is, yes, yes. I think it's called 21 Days, The Habit. And then again, the underlining thing is that it's a affirmation journal.
And that book can be purchased through Amazon?
Either through her or Amazon. Yes, it is $14.99 on Amazon. That's how I acquired it. So,
okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yes, she's cool people. I love her. Mm-hmm. And so going back into what I was saying, I had a revelation even in that. After I got done with the book, I sat there and realized that I didn't feel for the longest time, and this is recent, I mm-hmm. didn't feel like I was worthy enough to speak life into myself.
Okay.
And okay. So when I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh, Father, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's one of those things of it's like God wants to show us how he sees us. And it's like, again, that shame is almost like a huge wall that you put
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Because you just don't feel like anything good should happen. Mm-hmm. And so that again bleeds into a lot. Like I didn't know how to take compliments. Mm-hmm. I didn't, like I always was, oh well, it's just this or that's just that, mm-hmm. you know, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And you know, just that for example, but it really hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, yo, I didn't feel like I was good enough to speak life into myself.
Right,
and
right.
That goes against a lot of what, you know, God says in his word about just, you know, speaking life and, you know, speaking the word over a situation and mm-hmm. trusting in God's word. Because mm-hmm. I feel, this is me personally, if you can't speak life into yourself, then how are you, one, how are you supposed to grow in Christ and know about what he wants and desires for you if you can't
right.
even, you know what I'm saying? Like he
sure.
places desires
sure.
in your heart, but if you can't speak life into those desires, how will you be able to move forward with life? Mm-hmm. And so that's mm-hmm. that's one of the main things I realized. And then two, if I didn't feel like I was gonna speak life into myself, then who else was gonna do it? And I noticed that throughout my walk, it really didn't hit home for me with a lot until I was spoken to by, you know, Pastor so-and-so or mm-hmm. Prophet so-and-so or Apostle so-and-so. And it really hit home of, no, I need you to develop this relationship for yourself so that mm-hmm. you can speak and so that you
right.
can work and operate
right.
in the power and authority that I've given you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that based on God's word. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, like even again, that's recent.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
Of course, backtracking, I think the second thing that can be done regarding healing from that is mm-hmm. to acknowledge that you are worth you're worth good, you're worth positive mm-hmm. things, you're worth success, you are worth great things happening in your life. And that's more so on the self-esteem side. Like you mm-hmm. are God's creation, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God mm-hmm. uses who he desires to use. And
that doesn't
count you out. You are not counted out just because of something
mm-hmm.
that happened to you.
I can preach that. I can preach that. Hold on.
You're not
out. Oh my gosh.
Not at all.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so, you know, because, and I've noticed just not necessarily just with my life, but just living in certain demographics of how people deal with life, like people, mm-hmm. you know, can develop, you know, substance abuse or, you know, depend on different vices, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever, mm-hmm. to numb themselves. And what they don't realize when they're numbing themselves mm-hmm. is that you're still mentally, you're still that person you were however long ago when that event, happenstance or whatever took place and happened. And mm-hmm. so when you think about how God works with time, how he moves, how his seasons move, I started to, you know, build a relationship with him. A fear developed, right? I feel like this was a righteous fear, though. A mm-hmm. fear developed it within me of like, okay, God, I don't want to miss anything. And mm-hmm. so if I'm still stuck mentally and spiritually at 7 years old, God, mm-hmm. you have to do this thing for me. Wow. I need you to do it so that I'm in the will of you, because I'm stuck all the way back here. So I'm missing all of what you've been trying to do for the past 21 years. I can't do that.
God, girl, that is good.
I got to that point just because I know that God is so real and so good. And mm-hmm. even in this whole entire process, it never took away from my testimony. Like, mm-hmm. if I mean, this is just a piece. We're not talking about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But, oh, my gosh. And I got to the point, you know, after I decided to, you know, open my heart to him and, mm-hmm. you know, just let him have his way, I was convicted with a lot of things. And mm-hmm. I think part of the second thing, or excuse me, the third thing after that second thing is mm-hmm. to understand that healing is still going to be painful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And going through changes and dealing with convictions, they're painful, but mm-hmm. for the right reasons. If you think about, and I like to think about it more so on the side of somebody in ICU with a serious injury. Mm-hmm. Say somebody gets stabbed or somebody has a gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. They have to administer, the doctor is not there to hurt you. The doctor mm-hmm. is not there to further the injury or further impale you. Mm-hmm. The doctor is there. His sole purpose is to do everything necessary to progress the symptoms of whatever injury you have and mm-hmm. ultimately direct you into the process of healing. And mm-hmm. a doctor is not going to hopefully misdiagnose you or mm-hmm. leave a wound open. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just, okay, I'm going to hook you up to this IV and then walk out of a room, right? And so imagine spiritually, the doctor obviously is God. God is mm-hmm. not going to do anything that is going to harm us. And his word says that. And so mm-hmm. and that's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have for mm-hmm. you, for you to prosper. And mm-hmm. so though you may have the injury, repairing a gunshot wound, especially if there's a bullet lodged in your body, mm-hmm. it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Coming mm-hmm. out, but mm-hmm. it's not, that's not furthering the injury. The goal again is to progress the injury so that you can heal. And so when I looked at God in that way, I was like, okay.
Wow.
I was able to be at peace with, okay, look, I know that in order to get over a situation, you have to confront it. And you have to allow God to pull that out. You have mm-hmm. to allow God, depending on what you're dealing with, to stitch it up. You have to mm-hmm. allow God sometimes something has to get cut off. But it's not a thing of, oh, well, this situation is making me feel bad. And, oh, God, why? And you feel like sometimes you can feel like he's punishing you. But what's happening is that he's prepping you for the process of healing. And the mm-hmm. prep work prior even to the surgery you have to get different medications, you have to get different things. And so again, when I start to allow God to really, you know, like to operate like that, that's whenever I was able to further say, okay, this may not feel good, but God, I trust you. Developed a very heavy dependence on God and trust in God that I didn't have for a long time. Because I did say earlier that I didn't have trust issues. And that's still a thing that I work on to this day. But the more that I let him work, the more that I knew I could trust him. And even in his word, you know, it says that he's not, you know, here to harm us. And there's different verses on, you know, just his promises. And so I like to look at that doctor analogy. And the medications you may have for that prep work prior to that surgery or operation, his peace, his joy, his, I mean, just all of that, contentment, oh my God, restoration, being renewed and revived. Those are the medications that he gives, finding life in his word that matches your situation. All of that are prior medications that may, you know, you may need prior to, okay, this may hurt. This is what's getting ready to take place. And in order for this to happen successfully, we have to do this, this, and this. And so I developed like the ultimate trust that I had never had before, not just with God, but just with man. And so that developed and brought in more peace for me, and more freedom, because of course, after the healing process starts, you know, just like you're at a doctor's office, okay, they do the operation, they cover and dress the wound, they give you instructions and medication for however long they need to regarding that healing process. But after that healing process, after the initial wound heals and all of that, how you maintain the injury or whatever, that's on you. And I feel like God does us the same way. You have to still make sure you read your word every day. You have to make sure that you still spend time with the Father. You have to make sure that you are crucifying yourself daily. You have to make sure it falls on us. God is a God of free will. So if you don't allow him in the situation, he's not going to force you. He's not going to sit there and, oh, well, you have to No, he's like, oh, okay, you going to let me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to, you know, let me do this? And so I think that's the, you know, latter thing that people have to understand is let him be who he is. Just let him be who he is. It's not going to always be comfortable. And at the end of the day, when you think about it, what in life is really comfortable? If we really want to be honest, you know, we adapt to so many things that's, you know, on your job and with family and all that. So it's kind of like, God knows, you know, God knew what he was doing when he created everything in the earth and how it functions. And he works in the same way because he moves in different seasons and all of that. And the goal is, of course, again, to be in God's will. And I think that's a desire you have to have as well, is the desire to make sure that you're not missing a thing that God has for you, be it, you know, comfortable or uncomfortable. And most times we actually succeed in the uncomfortable places. There's no way you can get oil if the olive is not crushed. And there is a crushing that comes with it. There is. There is. Because we can't, and I think sometimes believers, we get to different spots. Well, Lord, use me. Okay, well, you do realize that means you have to go through a crushing, right? Like, let's not neglect. There has to to be, you know, fruit that comes from whatever this situation was. And the majority of the time, that's when God works his best with us.
And, you know, and, I'm thinking about something that you said.
Okay.
Well, two things. that just kind of really stuck out, and I think that others may need to kind of hear it again.
Okay.
Is that you found yourself, you know, at 21, 22, whatever that age was, but you found yourself, you were still at 7. You were still back there when the initial trauma occurred. And you said, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you said, God, I have to come out of here. Otherwise, I'm going to miss what you have for me. And I've been wasted all these years.
Yeah.
You know, it is so profound for people to know that certain traumas have a tendency to trap us at the time and place of that trauma mentally.
Yes, and absolutely.
Unless we catch up with, you know, ourselves, then we'll still be trapped there, so unfulfilled. And then the other thing that you said that I thought was crucial was the fact that you've had people to prophesy over you and thus say the Lord and all of that, but it was not until you began to prophesy or speak life over yourself that any of those prophecies would ever be able to come to pass. Now that right there, I think is one of the places where a lot of millennials may still wrestle with and struggle with, and kind of difficult to follow God or church, is because they don't know who they are.
Yeah,
because of what others have said to them about them and about who they are. And so
absolutely,
it's crucial to know who you are in Christ and to allow Him to give you the ability to understand.
That's right.
Yeah. You're able to do anything and all things through me, because I'm going to equip you to do that. Girl, okay, we got to do a part two.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Because you still got some stuff in the bag. I see you reaching in that bag. Oh, let me pull this out, boy. Oh my God, just so much. And so I'm gonna there's four things that I wrote down that you use as bullets, and I'm going to read them back, and then you confirm or deny. So you got
I got you.
I was trying to keep up with you. I just put my pencil down.
I'm sorry.
I started to eat off my hot dog, but it's in got cold now.
This is so good.
So the first thing you mentioned as far as getting to the place of, you know, walking in victory from any trauma, no matter what it is, whether it's you know, drugs, alcohol, addiction, abuse, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, anything. But that affects the ability to trust. And these are the type of energy situations that affect the ability to trust and attack our self-esteem, is to open your heart. You know, open your heart. If you can't trust anybody else, trust God.
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely.
And then the second thing that you said is that you have to. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you.
Okay, that's fine. The second thing you said is that you have to know that you're worth it.
Yes.
And there's great things that can be accomplished in you.
Yes.
And
this
one right here, number three, is the one that I have to shake my head to. That there's a healing process, and that the healing process can be painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just dropped the pencil. I ain't got no mic. I just dropped the pencil, okay?
Yeah.
And then the fourth thing that you said, Lord, my granddaughter trying to sign me, but I'm going to hide. The fourth thing that you said is that you have to let God be who He is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when are you going to write your first book?
Oh my God. Well, believe it or not, I actually am working on a book. It's specifically targeted to encourage women. And it's gonna be a more so of a collaborative effort of women that I know personally, that I know have a relationship with God, and that are passionate about encouraging women just as much as I am, if not more. But I think women, because I, even though, you know, I've dealt with different things and stuff like that, I, once I got older and became an adult and started dealing with life, I was like, oh my gosh. And so the Lord was actually able to open my eyes to different things that women, but to different things, but ultimately the, not so much a revelation, because we hear it more so geared towards, you know, how moms feel, but ultimately there is a underappreciation that society has with women, period, whether it don't matter the race, whatever background, whatever. Women are truly underappreciated. There's so much that a woman, now granted, I can go more so, you know, Black women, but I think women all together, there's so many things that exist in society that try to divide us, and we should actually be fighting together. And so the purpose of this book will be to just speak encouragement and love and bring light to appreciating all of the facets that women actually operate in. And so I'm really excited. That's currently in the works right now. I'm truly excited for that, because again, when you grow up, you're a wife, you're a mom, and being a mom, that's a full-time job in itself, because it's like working a whole bunch of part-time jobs. You're a doctor, you're oh my gosh, you're a cook, you're, you know, this, that, and the third, you're a counselor. And just being a parent, period. Having to operate a job if, you know, both parties, husband and wife, you know, work as well. So but yeah, and that's, you know, whether women are, you know, feel successful, or if they're, you know, still in their process of finding out who they are, it's just a book for me, as well as these amazing women, but for us to speak life into women, to all of the different parts of them. And, you know, some of it's going to be poetry. Some of it's going to be just free verse thoughts. I've been writing, of course, you guys, you know, heard that, you know, I did state that I'm a praise and worship leader. I've been writing almost all my life. And that's poems, songs, you know, free verse things, whatever. And so I feel like these other women as well have written for quite a while, or they've, you know, encouraged other women in some type of way. And so this is really, again, just a way to speak life into all the different parts of women. So
that is going to be powerful.
I'm excited about it. I really
am. Going to be powerful. And when you do, I want you to come back on, and I want to promote your book.
Of course. Yes. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
So
thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You can come back on. I'm going to promote your book. And then, well, I got to get you back here again.
Of course. Yes, sir.
Because I saw where you talked about millennials and their struggle with church and why they are not, you know, as you know what I'm saying? You know, why it's, you know, not a well, I don't know. Thing. I want to hear your thoughts on that, and I want the audience to hear your thoughts on that as well. Because it is a different season now. There's a lot of work that the church body of Christ needs to do to make sure that people are loved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That they're loved, and they're taught, you know, the word of God according to God, and not according to our own, you know, way of thinking. But Lanisha, did I say it right?
Yes.
Praise God. Listen, this has absolutely been incredible. And I'll tell you, you are the first one that has that talked for almost an hour.
Wow. Okay.
We got 10 more minutes. And you never thought you would, you know, share that long. But it was so
I didn't.
Good. It was so good. It was good.
And God I pray be the glory.
That those who are listening and who are sharing, and may I say that you are very articulate.
Thank you.
It's almost
it.
If you've done this all your life.
Wow.
And I ain't playing, you know. And and so, yes, ma'am, this has been wonderful.
Well, thank you.
And I thank you for coming on and for sharing.
Absolutely.
For just being who you are. And I know so many people are going to be blessed by this podcast and those that will follow you as one of my special guests. So, again, thank you so much.
Of course, and, thank you for having me.
Give your family, your Pastor T, our love. And we look forward to bringing you back. You know, I had Jeremy come down the other day. Jeremy,
okay.
Help me try to do a, because we're going to try to do a, I guess a Zoom podcast.
Okay, gotcha.
Actually see people.
Yeah.
I got to make sure my hair is right, so I ain't ready for that
yet. I gotcha. I hear you.
We're looking forward to doing that. But okay. Wow, girl, that is just so much that God's going to do with you and through you. Now, I'm just excited to play this small part, to get your voice to different places, different people who may not have never heard LaKeisha.
Lanisha.
There you go. There you go. Oh, God. But listen. Okay, listen. Give my love to all. You enjoy your day.
I will.
And thank you so much for coming on and being a part.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow, that was absolutely incredible. And I want to thank LaKeisha Phillips for coming on and sharing with us her story. I first saw that her story on a Facebook page, and it just absolutely blew my mind, because I know there's so many people out there that struggles by that trauma. And so I'm just grateful for her transparency. And if you want to know more about her, just look her up on the Facebook page, LaKeisha Phillips. And I'm sure if you ask her to come to share her journey at your church, with your group, with your fellowship, I believe that she would be honored to do that as the Lord leads. So this is Pastor Bloom, and I want to thank everyone who's listening to this podcast on today. And if you would like more information, just go ahead and hit us up on the page, or you can email us at list2freedom. That's the number 2, list2freedom@gmail.com. And be listening out for some more podcast stories. We are trying our best to facilitate with these stories that is. It's absolutely amazing, and that we know without a doubt that they are God-generated. Okay? So, hey, guys, y'all have a great one. God bless you. Till the next time. Bye-bye.